This is part two in our study on the working of the Holy Spirit. Today's focus is understanding and embracing your spiritual gift. Let me begin this session by reading two verses. The first is from Acts chapter 2, verse 38. Repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and listen to this, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. One of my favorite terms to describe the Holy Spirit is the gift. And when you receive Jesus Christ into your heart and make Him the Lord and Master of your life, you receive the gift of salvation and the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit, which is the greatest gift. But in addition to this, in addition to receiving the gift of salvation and the gift of the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit, believers also receive a gift, at least one gift. Note this verse from 1 Peter 4:10. Each one has received a special gift. Employ it in the serving of one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. So not only have believers received the gift of the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit, but we also received a gift. And today I want to focus the discussion on that. The gift, the spiritual gift that we receive from the Holy Spirit that will help us accomplish the Great Commission work that God calls us to. There are three categories of spiritual gifts, and each category is known by a specific word in the Greek text. There are nine manifestation or sign gifts. These are profiled in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 7 through 10. Sometimes this set of gifts is referred to as sign gifts. Some might say that these sign gifts represent more sensational workings of the Holy Spirit. They include things like the gift of miracles, the gift of healings, the gift of speaking in tongues, the gift of interpreting tongues. In addition to the sign gifts or manifestation gifts, there are five ministry gifts. These are gifts or callings given to the church to help the church be organized and strong in administering the Great Commission work. The ministry gifts include the gift of teaching, the gift of the evangelist, the gift of the pastor, and so on. And there are seven motivational gifts. This is a separate category of gifts profiled in Romans chapter 12, verses 6 through 8. Sometimes these are referred to as the service gifts. And this set of gifts, in the Greek text, this category of gifts is known as the charisma gifts. It is this set of gifts that is extended to every believer today. The other two categories of spiritual gifts are rare. They are not given to every believer. But this set of gifts, the service gifts, the gifts of giving and mercy and compassion and service, this set of gifts is given to every believer today. Now, that is not to say that every believer receives all seven of these service gifts, but every believer receives at least one of these gifts. And when Peter wrote in 1 Peter 10, as each one has received a special gift, that's the category of gifts that he was referring to. This category of spiritual gifting is presented as having the highest priority in Scripture. As you look at Romans chapter 12, verses 6 through 8, you'll see a number of gifts profiled. One of the gifts is the gift of perception, the gift of being a perceiver. This is one who is especially sensitive to perceiving the will of God, one who readily perceives and prays about, proclaims, and then promotes the will of God. Some biblical examples of people who had this gift, the special gift of spiritual perception, would be people like John the Baptist, Anna from Luke chapter 2, verses 36 through 38, Mary, the mother of Jesus. Old Testament figures include prophets such as Hosea, Jeremiah, Isaiah, Jonah, and others. My heart is to help believers identify what spiritual gifts they have. Because if you don't identify what spiritual gift you have, then you're not going to realize your potential in service or in life. Michael Jordan was a great basketball player, but he switched gears for a little bit. And even though he was a fantastic athlete, when he tried to play baseball, he was not great because that wasn't his niche. Now, that's a physical, not a spiritual application, but there is a spiritual truth here. It is important that we find our niche, that we identify our spiritual gift or gifts and calling, and then use our gift to fulfill our calling. It's when we do that that we find the greatest levels of peace and power and purpose in life. So in regard to this first gift, the gift of being a perceiver, being one who is especially sensitive to the leading and prompting of the Holy Spirit, let me throw out a couple questions. And if you would rate these questions kind of in your mind, 1 to 5, with 5 being the highest score, if you rate high on a number of these questions, then there's a high probability that you have been given this gift. Number 1, do you quickly and accurately identify good from evil? Or for you, is that difficult? If there's a lot of gray area, then perhaps this is not your gift. The perceiver is more cut and dry. It's black and white. There's very little gray area. The perceiver is quick to be able to assess character. Some people could put up a good front. The perceiver can see right through it. They see to the heart of the matter. One characteristic of having this gift is that the individual often has few friends. Because in the world today, we are taught to be accommodating and tolerant, and to live in the gray area, to not really be cut or dry, or to see things in black or white, or to lead with God's will, not my will. And the person who does live like that, who doesn't see truth as relative, who does really kind of live in a black and white, cut and dry manner, it will cost them. It will cost them some friends. The person with this gift will view the Bible as the sole basis for belief and authority. The person with this gift is often frank and outspoken. There's no gray area, so they just kind of say it how it is. The person with this gift cares for other people. They are eager to help and eager to see their own blind spots. They have a desire to help others. They have a desire to see God's plan worked out in all situations. This person will be a prayer warrior, and not just for their own needs, but they will have a heart to pray for others. They will be a real intercessor. This person will feel a need to verbalize what they see. They can't hold it in. If something is wrong, they feel compelled to point it out. This person will have strong opinions and strong convictions and strict personal standards. Some of these qualities will certainly cross over. So if you have a heart to pray for other people, it doesn't automatically mean that you have this gift of spiritual perception. If you have this gift, you have the potential to be a great voice and witness for God. These people burn bright as lights of faith. They know what it is to be the salt of the earth. They make a difference. They point out truth. They have a heart to make people right with God. They can't just let it go or shut their eye or turn away. They want to make it right. Those are some of the positive qualities or attributes, but there is a downside. Sometimes individuals with this gift can come off as being judgmental. They might be slow to praise partial progress because they're looking for total change. And sometimes these individuals set such high standards, not just for others, but for their self, that they struggle with low self-esteem. So what I suggest is that you ask God, do I have this gift? Listen to this section of tape again. Review the qualities or the characteristics that this spiritual gift is known by. Ask yourself the question, are the characteristics that spiritual gift is known by, are those qualities in my life? If they are, then 2 things. Number 1, note those areas of concern. Make sure that your gift does not become your liability. Ask God to help you to stay away from the pitfalls that are often associated with this gift. Being too judgmental, or having such high standards for others and self that you struggle with low self-esteem. The issue of being intolerant of opinions or views that differ from your own. And if you have this gift, ask God to use you. You have been given this gift for a reason, for a divine purpose. And people with this gift, like John the Baptist, like Mary, the mother of Jesus, like the prophets Hosea and Jeremiah and Isaiah, these people changed the world. These people made a difference. The second of the service gifts that are profiled in Romans 12 is the gift of service. This is one who receives great joy from helping and assisting. Biblical examples of people with this gift, the gift of service: Martha, read of her in Luke chapter 10. Stephen, a New Testament leader, Acts chapter 6 and 7. Peter's mother-in-law, who was ill, healed by Jesus, and the first thing she did was she got up and she began to serve them. Matthew chapter 8, verses 14 and 15 tells a little bit about her heart and her service. Phoebe, Romans 16, verses 1 and 2. Amnesius, you read of him, he's the runaway servant of Philemon. You can read the book of Philemon and learn a little more of his story. This gift is generally easy to identify. The people with the gift of service, they are quick to recognize needs, and they are quick to take initiative in meeting those needs. People with the gift of service generally keep things in order, perhaps meticulous order. They have an eye and a mind for detail. They have a good memory. They know what it takes to get jobs done. They are quick to show hospitality. The individual with the gift of service will have a hard time saying no to requests for help. They enjoy showing love for others through actions more than words. They want to do something rather than just say something. The person with the gift of service will be prone to doing more than what is asked for. They find great joy in doing things that are helpful. They have a high energy level. They tend to be perfectionist. They prefer doing a job rather than delegating it. Does the church need individuals to employ this gift? Absolutely. Often, this is how the work gets done. The work of the church gets done by people who have the gift of service. It shouldn't really be that way. The people with the gift of service should inspire others to join them in the work. But often the reality is 80% of the work of the church is done by 20% of the people. And individuals with this gift often take the initiative, they see a need, and they move quickly to meet the need, and they get the job done. That's a good thing. The gift of service is a marvelous gift. But just like the gift of special spiritual perception, this gift has a downside as well. There are areas of concern. People with this gift can be critical of others who do not feel led to help as they feel led to help. For example, in the story of Mary and Martha, Martha, who had the gift of service, became upset with her sister, Mary, who did not have this gift. Jesus nicely but firmly corrected her. People with the gift of service may neglect their own family's needs by being too involved in helping others. Some people with the gift of service are so involved in helping here and here and here that they don't properly address the needs in their own home. Also, people with this gift sometimes find it difficult to accept help from others. They are so used to being the helper or the supporter or the server that they find it difficult to have other people serve them, and sometimes that's necessary. So in regard to this gift, every believer should pray, God, do I have this gift? Review some of the characteristics associated with this gift. Do you easily or quickly recognize needs? Do you find yourself taking initiative to meet those needs? Do you like order? Do you like to support projects rather than lead projects? If the answer to a number of these questions is yes, then perhaps you have this gift. And if you have the gift of giving, then what a blessing you can be to your family and to your church. But note the areas of concern. Ask God and strong Christian brothers and sisters in faith to help you to not overdo it, to be able to see the big picture, to not have a heart that's critical of others for not serving as you have been gifted to serve. Know that that's your particular calling and gift. And your job is through example, through positive motivation, to encourage others to join you in service. And the best way to do that is to lead by example with a positive and joyful heart. Another gift that's profiled in Romans chapter 12 is the gift of teaching. Examples of New Testament figures who had the gift of teaching include Jesus and Apollos. Information on Apollos can be found in Acts chapter 18, verses 24 through 28, and also 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 6. Individuals with the gift of teaching will have this ability to present information in a logical and systematic way. They will be prone to validating truth by checking out the facts. They love to study. They love to do research. An individual with the gift of teaching will know the word and will become upset when scripture is used out of context. Whereas one might say, it doesn't really matter. For the person with the gift of teaching, it will matter. They will have a particular sensitivity to this. Individuals with the gift of teaching are generally articulate. Individuals with the gift of teaching, they generally have strong convictions and opinions, and that's based on study and research and investigation. And individuals with this gift believe that truth has an intrinsic power to produce change. Some want to affect change through emotional manipulation or through some kind of incentive program, perhaps financial reward, position, or power. But the person with the gift of teaching believes that truth has the greatest power to produce change. Individuals with this spiritual gift have particular things to watch out for. Areas of concern include being slow to accept or to appreciate the viewpoints of others. People with the gift of teaching generally have done research and study, and they've come to their own conclusions, and their opinions are strong. As such, there can be an appearance of intolerance, and that can compromise one's witness. Individuals who have the gift of teaching can develop pride in their intellectual ability. They can do the study. They've done the research. They're quick. They're articulate. It is possible for these blessings to become a source of pride. Individuals with the gift of teaching can become legalistic or dogmatic. And sometimes, because there is this desire to study and learn and read and be involved in research, it's easy to get sidetracked. It's difficult sometimes to follow through to the end because there's so many things to investigate and study and learn about. So if you think you may have this gift, then ask God to both help you cultivate your gift, to give you opportunities to share your gift and to grow in your gift, and to help you to be aware of and sensitive to those areas of concern that I mentioned. And know this, if you have the gift of teaching, know that it is a gift that takes years to develop. If you believe you have this gift, try and try again. And don't give up. In Colossians chapter 4, we read the words of Paul, "Take heed of the ministry you have received in the Lord, that you may fulfill it." If this is your gift, hang on to it. Take heed of it, Paul says, and employ it in the service of the Lord. Fulfill your calling. Find a way to share what you know. Find a way to study and to learn and to grow, to develop your gift, and to employ it in the kingdom's work. The next gift that's listed in Romans chapter 12 is the gift of exhortation. The exhorter points out right from wrong. Like the perceiver, he sees things in black and white, but this person's passion is to point it out. It's what they're here for. It's what they were made to do. The gift of exhortation is different than the gift of teaching. The teacher aims for the mind. He will try to persuade and move people to action based on the facts and logic of their argument. But the exhorter does not so much aim for the mind. The exhorter aims for the heart. For the exhorter, it's all about sin. It's not about changing someone's mind. It's about changing someone's heart, the condition of their heart. And if the heart can be drawn into a right relationship with God, the body will follow. The exhorter loves to encourage others to live a victorious and righteous life. The exhorter's passion is to see a visible response to good teaching and good preaching. The exhorter wants people to respond to the word, to the challenge, to the gospel truth. The exhorter prefers to apply truth rather than research it. The exhorter, like the teacher, is an able communicator, but whereas the teacher tends to present information and then move on to the next speaking engagement, the exhorter will like the long-term connection. The exhorter will be involved in encouragement. The exhorter will be involved in discipleship. The exhorter will be involved in counseling. The exhorter accepts people where they are without judging them, but does expect individuals to change. If individuals do not change, if counseling is not effective, the exhorter will be prone to sever ties. The exhorter tends to make decisions easily. It's right or wrong. There's no gray area. The exhorter will move to clear up problems with others very quickly. Doesn't want anything in the background and has no problem confronting situations and bringing matters to the forefront for discussion so that they can be resolved. The exhorter has high expectations for self and for others, and the exhorter will have strong opinions. The gift of exhortation is a unique and specific gift. It is vital for the church, and it is vital for the world. We need people like Jesus with the gift of exhortation to stand up in the world today and say, that is wrong. This is the bar and the standard that God has established, and we need to live at that standard. There can be no compromise. The person who has that kind of passion and conviction is the person with the gift of exhortation. Someone with this gift, because they have strong convictions, because they have this gift, this ability to see right from wrong, they can be prone to interrupt others in their eagerness to give advice. Because they don't have to wrestle with the issues. They don't have to think about it or worry about it. They just know what's right. They have this ability to know what God expects. They will be, by and large, cut and dried in prescribing steps of action. This is what you need to do, A, B, and C. And sometimes the complexity of this world requires a more flexible approach. People with the gift of exhortation can sometimes be abrasive. They could be outspoken. They could be opinionated. And sometimes, because they've set the bar so high and because they so clearly know what the expectations of God are, that they struggle with low self-esteem because it is so hard for us to live at that standard. So pray. Ask God, do I have this gift? And if you have this gift, what are you doing with it? Are you cultivating it? It is a gift to be able to know right from wrong and to have this passion in your heart to want to share that. The Bible says that we are to bring out the best in each other. That's an art. That's the gift of exhortation. Three more. The gift of giving. The person with the gift of giving will share several traits with the individual with the gift of service. This person with the gift of giving can be a leader or a follower. And like the perceiver and the teacher, has a love for the Word of God. But when it comes to the use of resources, the giver is unique. The giver gives and leads in giving and motivates others to give by their positive example. Biblical examples of individuals with the gift of giving include Abraham, Dorcas in the New Testament in Acts chapter 9, Cornelius in Acts chapter 10, Lydia in Acts chapter 16, Zacchaeus in Luke chapter 19, verses 1 through 10. Individuals with the gift of giving will give freely, expecting nothing in return. They love to give without others knowing it. They have a particular passion to give to things which glorify God and serve to help individuals be drawn into a right relationship with Jesus Christ. They believe that God is the source of all blessings, and that God will provide. The person with the gift of giving will often be industrious, a hard worker, wise, will possess a natural and God-given wisdom. In regard to areas of concern, the individual with the gift of giving may sometimes try to control how their contributions are spent or used. Often, that's not best. It is possible that individuals with the gift of giving will harbor some ill will toward people who do not give or struggle with giving. In their eagerness to see others share in their joy, sometimes they could put pressure, undue pressure, on brothers and sisters in Christ regarding how much they give. And it is possible for individuals who have the gift of giving to focus so much on the financial support of the work that they neglect their own individual participation in the work. If you have the gift of giving, even if you have provided extraordinary financial support for the work of the church, you still have an obligation to somehow be personally involved in the work of the church. Forgive me for saying it this way, but writing a check is not enough. Spend some time in prayer this week about this gift. Ask God to draw people to your church who have this gift. Ask God to cultivate this gift in the hearts of His people. The next gift is the gift of administration. This is the leader. These are people like Joseph, people like Nehemiah, Deborah, David, James in the New Testament. The individual with the gift of administration and leadership is highly motivated to get things done. They express and communicate ideas very clearly. They respect authority systems. They take responsibility and they delegate responsibility. They have vision. They have broad perspective. They are flexible. They will endure criticism in order to accomplish the ultimate goal. They find great fulfillment and joy in working to accomplish goals, to making a plan and to seeing that plan through. This person works well with others. They give direction and take direction. They will like to see projects completed quickly, and they do not like routine tasks. They don't want to do the same thing again and again and again. They want new adventures, new challenges. Does that describe you? Has God called you to be a leader? Has God given you the gift of administration? The church today needs leaders. The church today needs people to stand up and to lead brothers and sisters in Christ in doing the important work that it has been given to do. But just like with the other gifts, there are areas of concern. The person with the gift of administration can become upset when others don't share their goals, when they don't share their vision, when they can't see outside of the box, when they don't appreciate the need for plans and detail. Because the leader is often a target for criticism, it is possible for the person with the gift of administration to become callous. In the quest for getting the job done, because there is this aversion to the routine task, sometimes individuals with the gift of leadership or administration will neglect the routine task at home, the tasks that need to be done at church on a routine basis. So if you think that you might have this gift, spend extra time in prayer on these areas. Ask God to give you good accountability partners, people who will help you see what you have difficulty seeing. Ask God to help you not only live for the next adventure, for the next project, but to even find joy in accomplishing the routine and the mundane works. Be patient with people. Understand that your ability to have vision is your particular gift. Pray that God would give you wisdom in this. And finally, there is the gift of compassion and mercy. And if there was ever in history a need for this gift, now's the time. The church needs to be known as the agent of change in the world today, as the organization that makes a difference in the world for good. And what is easiest, I think, for the unchurched to see is good and clear acts of mercy and compassion. Do you have that gift? Are you like Ruth, or Jeremiah, who was sometimes called the weeping prophet? Are you like Rachel? Are you like Rebecca? Do you have a big heart? Do you have a tremendous capacity to show love? Are you an optimist? Do you always look for the good in people, the potential in others? Are you trusting and are you trustworthy? Are you positive and cheerful? Are you a crusader for good causes? Do you take initiative in taking action to remove hurts and to relieve distress in the lives of others? Is this your heart? Do you have the gift of compassion and mercy? If you do, you are a tremendous blessing to your church and to your family and to this world. Areas of concern for individuals who have this gift include they may be indecisive. There are so many needs. There are so many hurting people. Sometimes it's impossible to know what to do. And sometimes just going through the process of not knowing what to do and wrestling with that decision, it will drain you of your strength and it will steal your time to the point where nothing gets done. Individuals with the gift of compassion and mercy often have big hearts. And if you have a big heart, usually you have a sensitive heart. And it's easy for that person to be overwhelmed. It's easy to become so connected with the hurts and the needs of others that it's hard to find joy anymore. Pray that God would give you wisdom in how to exercise that gift. Pray that God would give you a good helper, a prayer partner, an accountability partner, someone that will work with you and watch over you to pull you back when you are so connected to a situation or to a hurt that you lose yourself a little bit in that. When your heart is so open and you're so vulnerable, you need somebody close to you who can pull you back and to give you some strength, some affirmation, and some perspective. If you have this gift, don't let one situation, one person, one great hurt or setback, don't let that stop you from being the person that God wants you to be, from using the gift that God has given to you. The gift of mercy is a tremendous blessing for the church, but it can almost be a curse for the person who has it because they live with their heart on their sleeve. They are constantly vulnerable. The people who have the gift of mercy and compassion are definitely special individuals. If you do not have this gift, spend time praying for the people who do because they are on the front lines of service for the Lord. So in this session, I have profiled the 7 motivational gifts, the gifts that are profiled in Romans chapter 12, verses 6 through 8. These are sometimes called the service gifts, and I believe that God has given these gifts to the church today. When Peter in 1 Peter 4:10 said that every person has received a special gift, this is what he was talking about. You have received one of these gifts, possibly more, if you are a believer in Jesus Christ. Pray. Ask God. Ask strong believers in the faith what they see in you. Strive to discern what gift God has given to you, and then work with your church leadership to determine the best ways to employ that gift in the service of the Lord. May God bless you.